This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The youngest members of the baby boom generation are turning 50, yet they are more active, more youthful than previous generations that have crossed that milestone. The Live Well Collaborative is a nonprofit founded in 2007 by the University of Cincinnati and Procter & Gamble to specialize in research and development of products and services for this large and growing 50-plus market. And joining us to discuss their work is Live Well Collaborative Executive Director Linda Dunseith, Martha Schimberg, former owner of the market research firm The Answer Group and current member of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and also Brooke Brandewee, University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, adjunct faculty, fashion faculty member, and also a design strategist with the Live Well Collaborative. And you can join our conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks to all of you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Linda, tell me the story behind the Live Well Collaborative. What it is, why it was founded, how long it's been going.
Great. We were founded back in 2007, like you said, by P&G and UC. At the time, one of our founders, Craig Vogel, who is now the Associate Dean for Research at the College of Architecture, College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, was actually doing some work with P&G, specifically Gil Cloyd, who was the former CTO. And they were actually looking at this 50-plus market. So Craig at the time was at Carnegie Mellon doing this kind of work, but he could only get a project a year done. So working with, at the time, the president of UC, Nancy Zimpfer, they recruited Craig to UC to actually start to form the Live Well Collaborative. So, you know, the premise was doing, you know, product and research development for the 50 plus, but bringing collaborators together that wanted to focus on that theme. So originally when the Live Well was founded, P&G was a partner, General Mills, local company Hillrom that's out in Batesville, Indiana, and Citigroup.
So they obviously, they saw a need that they could, they felt that they had the resources to fill that need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the baby boomer population is 78 million strong, over 2 trillion in buying power. I just read a recent statistic from Boston College. The boomer population stands to inherit trillions of dollars in inheritance. So there's this huge opportunity in funding, as well as not only the need to develop products and services for this group that are unmet.
Brooke, what's your role with the collaborative?
Oh, I do a lot of different things. I started back in 2008 after I graduated as a design research student on the projects. And then I worked my way to now leading some of the projects. So I help Linda with a lot of the coordination of the studio projects, doing a lot of the research itself on the projects and facilitating the research with the students.
So it sounds like you wear a lot of different hats then. Is that the case?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And Martha, talk about the role that you play and the role that the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute plays in the collaborative.
Okay. Well, Ollie, you know, is the lifelong learning program at UC, and there are 1,700 of 50-plus people enrolled in that program. And LiveWell uses Ollie as its database. So we participate on a voluntary basis, you know, in the various projects. And that's my specific job has really been the liaison between Ollie and LiveWell and getting the people into the projects. And I believe Linda's going to talk to you more about the kinds of projects we do and what role Ollie plays. But
yeah, absolutely. So the way our projects work that Martha was referring, so based on UC system, and I'm going to give semester system, I'm going to give UC a plug. UC is the only university in the United States that I know of that has a world-renowned design school that's embedded in a true research university, and then it has a vast amount of capabilities, engineering school, business, CCM, College of Medicine, College of Nursing, Pharmacy, and we can tap into all those resources for a studio project. So typically for a studio project, I find a corporation that's interested in developing a product or a service for the 50-plus, and then I match them with a faculty team. These faculty teams are multidisciplinary, typically design-led and then complemented by a faculty from business or nursing. And then we use multidisciplinary teams of students to drive these projects. So within a 14-week period, we start with an idea, and at the end of those 14 weeks, we actually have concepts. And during that process, we actually interact with Ollie for insights, co-creation, and refinement of those products and services.
So Ollie's helping you with research issues, then I take it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Right. The Ollie people participate in the original idea generation, and then the students develop prototypes, and we come back again, evaluate the prototypes, and then even come back a third time many times to look at the final product and offer input.
Linda and Brooke, maybe together, can you talk about some of the specific design projects that you've worked on?
Well, we can talk about a few. A lot of the work we do is confidential. Specifically Boeing. Boeing is one of our major partners. And Boeing as a company first asked us to look at the holistic journey of the traveler. And then based on the research that was done for that project, then we've identified other projects. Specifically the journey of the traveler, you know, so it's not only about on the airplane itself, but it's the travel journey through the airport. From one of the projects there, we actually have a patent that was just filed. It's called the Take Me There Chair, which is a transport device to get someone through the airport. So that was one of the concepts that was developed on one of the projects.
Also, I was just going to add, what we do with the Ollie members is they come in and they will participate in think tanks around certain topics that are relative to the company members that we work with. For example, in-flight communication and care was one topic we explored for the future project that we were working on with Boeing. And so the Ollie members will come in and work with students to brainstorm ideas around this topic, and then that is transferred into the project to be explored with the research.
And part of the fun of it for the Ollie people is working with the students and the faculty and actually generating ideas.
What key things have you found in your research that pertain to most of those over 50? What are some of the things that you've learned in the years that you've been doing this? That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot. I'll tell you what, probably one of the big trends we're seeing right now out of our research is living in place. Individuals no longer think about going to assisted care or nursing homes. So what they're looking at as they might be downsizing, as they might be building a new home or looking at a new residence is actually, you know, living there for the rest of their lives and what they need to think about as they plan that home or make modifications for that home for wheelchair access, just different things that they have to do so they can live in place longer.
Now, we talked about the fact that there are going to be trillions of dollars passing through this generation. But what are some of the other things that make this such a powerful market for companies to have as an audience?
Oh, there are just so many opportunities to develop things to fit their needs.
Well, just the sheer size of the population.
Mm-hmm. What makes it a tough group to market to, though? Are there any things that come to mind?
Well, I know it was mentioned earlier. You know, you say 50 plus. Well, there's that 50 to 60-ish mm-hmm. group. There's that 65 to 75. And then you've got the 80 plus, and they all have different needs and different requirements. But one principle that we operate on, the students do, especially the industrial design students, is universal design. So if you design for the needs of, you know, the oldest individuals, then you design for everyone. And that's actually embedded in their curriculum.
Mm-hmm. So one of the difficulties then, as you were starting to talk about, is that the 50 plus covers so many different types of people, some who are still active, some who are still working, some who are in good health, some who are not in such good health. And that makes it a hard group to pin down, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Something with the Ollie group, they're very innovative, and they're a part of sort of the early adopter and innovator segment. So by working with them to develop products and services, they're really, and also the design students and the different disciplines of students, they're really looking, they're already developing products that are future-oriented rather than that would be something for the mass market. So that's been a real plus because we get a lot of creative thinking from these members
of Ollie. But, you know, I think the students also get a kick out of it, and I think they're surprised to find that all these Ollie people are pretty with it and smart and able to generate a lot of ideas.
That's right. Yes. Those of us over 50 still have still doing okay, yes. Brooke, just out of curiosity, you went through your DAP training. Mm-hmm. When you were doing that, did you ever see yourself in this kind of a role? Was this where you were headed in the first place, or?
Oh, wow. Well, I studied fashion design, product development at DAP, and initially I used all my co-ops to explore different roles in the product development process out in the industry. I worked in New York and Hawaii. From those experiences, I really became more interested in working in multidisciplinary teams, which at the time in 2008, 2007, it wasn't really happening for DAP students. So this co-op that I did, my last co-op, was with the LiveWell. And it just, the business model, the experience I had with the students, the faculty, working with all the disciplines, doing the research we did was just phenomenal. I mean, it was something I had never experienced. So I stayed there. I've been working there for the past 5 years, and I've just loved it. It's been incredible.
So it clicked with you on the way.
Yes.
And, you know, Brooke brings up a really good point. Our projects are multidisciplinary.
Yes.
And for some of these students coming together, you know, business students working with designers, working with engineers, working with nurses, this typically hasn't happened in their collegiate career. And we always call the first 2 weeks of the studio the fuzzy front end, because they have to learn how to work together. And it's just like the real life when you go into an organization and, you know, you might come in as a designer and you've got to work with the marketing group and the engineering group. This gives them real life experience with working with those different personalities. And probably the big aha, because we divide the students up into teams. There might be 15 students on a in a project, but then maybe five people on a team. They have to learn how to work with one another to be successful. And I think that helps them with their further co-ops and their further professional careers.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Linda, do you find that companies understand how large this market is going to be, and are they actively developing products for this market?
Absolutely. We've actually found a renewed interest. When we started in 2007, 2008 were great, and then we had the economy crash on us, and it's been a little slow because a lot of companies didn't want to put their marketing dollars, their advertising dollars with that age group. And now that the economy's on a little bit of a coming back up again, we have had some renewed interest, and we've had quite a few organizations come and visit us and learn more about what we do. So I think they're finally starting to see the opportunity.
Do you ever run into a case where individuals who walk in have a preconceived notion about the 50-plus market that has to be changed before they can get to work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a change in thinking for them, because they're typically used to looking at that 18 to 20-something age group. And when you think about marketing to the older individual, you know, how much, you know, fun can that be? You know, it's scary for them because it's not traditional. It's something new. There is not a lot of expertise in that market.
You know, Linda, something else is that part of the program is that the students come actually do some in-home visits and come to the homes of the OLLI members and see how they're living and how they're using whatever products we're researching. So that's another interesting part for the students to learn how other people are living.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, you've got these 20-something-year-olds. You know, what do they know about developing products for the 50-plus? The in-homes are very beneficial for them. We actually take them through a set of aging simulations also, so they can understand some of the things that happen, you know, with your eyes, glaucoma. What happens if someone has a stroke? So we simulate those kind of things. Arthritis. How do you brush your teeth with arthritis? How do you floss with arthritis? We take them through those learning modules so they can actually learn what needs to be done when they're thinking about developing products and services for that age group.
Brooke, from your perspective, DAP and design, have you learned anything specific about designing for an aging market?
Well, like Linda was saying, I mean, really it's about thinking about the individual, who it is you are designing for, and really understanding their lives and how they live. But also thinking about the struggles that they could have, whether it's arthritis or physical limitations in their home while they're doing a task. All of these things you have to think about when you're coming up with new ideas for products, because you have to identify their needs and their limitations and frustrations in order to make things better, because design is about changing existing situations into preferred ones. I think that Craig says that a lot. But that really is sort of the mantra that we, you know, live by as designers and what we're trained to learn in the school. And when we create anything, whether it's fashion or products or services. So,
yeah, Linda, for years, it seems like companies have been aiming at younger consumers. My wife and I always get that feeling when we watch the ads on TV. are they starting to wake up to this realization that they need to be more attentive to older consumers? And is that what's going on here?
Well, you're absolutely seeing that on TV. Kentucky Fried Chicken, you're starting to see advertisements from them on this age group. Coca-Cola, you're starting to see those trends. And, you know, once you have that awareness of it, you'll pick up a lot more of it on TV. But organizations are definitely looking at that.
How well are companies prepared for dealing with this, though? I mean, is this blindsiding them, or are they?
Well, you know what's really interesting? When we first have companies in, we actually go through a brainstorming session with them because they know there's an opportunity there, but they really don't know what they should be focusing on as an organization. So we actually have, we call them learning labs, design thinking workshops, where they may have some themes, and we actually help the different groups coming in actually ideate around those themes to see where the opportunities are. And typically the ideas from the studios come from those ideation sessions.
Do you research transitional products, things that might work fine for anyone now, but can be modified for someone who may start having problems moving around, maybe getting up steps or getting in and out of a car as they get older? Are there transitional devices that you work on?
You know, Duchess Wall was a member. Typically, members come on for 2 years and then they rotate off. They have companies like Chamberlain garage door openers. And they were actually looking at living in place also, and what kind of phase modifications could be done so that you make one major modification, but then it can be adjusted to phases.
We'll continue our conversation after the break. You can join in by calling 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
Support comes from Linton Music, presenting extraordinary concerts in an intimate setting on May 18th and 19th. Pianist John Kimura Parker joins former CSO principal clarinetist Richie Hawley, violist Aloysia Friedman, and cellist Esmond Hobig, featuring Mozart Kegelstadt and Brahms clarinet trios. 513-381-6868 or lintonmusic.org. Kyle from Cincinnati wrote, "Thank you for your fantastic news broadcast. I listen every morning. My friend streams you via the internet each morning, too. He constantly complains that his local NPR station pales in comparison to WVXU. Your contribution supports local news on 91.7 and 88.5. Please make your donation at WVXU or WMUB.org.
So, Linda, the Live Well Collaborative has an international presence. Is that correct?
Absolutely. P&G established a research center in Singapore. It's been about a year ago. And based on the relationship P&G has with the Live Well, they wanted to found a Live Well in Singapore. So we have a relationship with Singapore Polytechnic. The population is aging rapidly, much faster in Singapore than it is in the United States. So it was crucial for P&G to have that kind of expertise there. So we have global partners, but Boeing is a global partner. P&G is a global partner that actually work on product studios. They are separate legally and financially from us, but actually follow our methodology. So there are faculty from Singapore Polytechnic that actually come to University of Cincinnati Live Well to actually train and learn our research methods so that they can help the 50-plus population there.
What were the key inroads that your group has made?
Key inroads, probably creating an awareness more than anything. One huge inroad is the importance of multidisciplinary work. That is huge. Consumer insights, basing all of our product development on working with consumers and actually being able to visualize those insights and then get reaction from consumers on how those visualizations can be improved.
What advice would you have for a company that wants to market to people who are 50 plus?
Good luck. I think what you really have to focus on is the consumer need. I always say design is kind of reverse engineered. We focus on looking at the needs of that consumer and then developing the product or the service to fit that need. We don't develop the thing and then find the consumer for it. So really focusing on the consumer itself and looking and identifying their needs and meeting them.
Well, thanks everybody for joining me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
LiveWell Collaborative Executive Director Linda Dunseith, Martha Schimberg, who's former owner of the market research firm The Answer Group, and current member of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, also Brooke Brandewey, University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, adjunct fashion faculty member, and a design strategist with the LiveWell Collaborative.